Romans chapter 12 is where we are. Romans 12. We saw last week, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant prayer. Tonight, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your faithfulness and for your goodness to us. That song, just, you're so worthy of that, God. And we just praise your holy name. And dear God, I ask now that you fill me with your blessed spirit and help me to minister the word of God to this dear church here tonight. These are dear ones in your eyes. You love us. You have shed your blood for us, made us, and are making us into your image. Thank you, Lord. Fill my dear wife with the spirit as she teaches the deaf ladies class. I thank you for the lessons being learned in there. Brother Brian, watching the children in the Sundays in the nursery, Father, help him and bless him there. I do thank you for each one here. I thank you that you have heard our prayers, that in love that is beyond understanding and power the same, you will work in those things, Father. We trust you for that. We've seen it many times. Help us to share your goodness to others, that they may know thee as well. Father, help us to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. All right. We are to, as believers, to be distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. We ought to be a giving people. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive, the Bible says. And most of us, I'm sure all of us in here have been on the giving end at one time or another, and we've experienced that. It is more blessed to give than to receive, and it's wonderful to see a need met if God helps us, enables us to meet some need, and it is indeed a wonderful thing, and we are to be givers, and especially to the believers. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." So there's the church giving to those who are teachers in the church, and then God talks about the law of reaping and sowing in that context. In Galatians 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men." We ought to be. Jesus went about doing good, didn't he? And we ought to be those who do good. Look for opportunities to do good to others. Let's do good to all men. And notice the last part of Galatians 6:10, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially unto them who are the household of faith. And we read verse 13 here in Romans 12, distributing to the necessity of who? Saints. We are to be givers. We see that the Bible has a bit of a prejudice when it comes to saints giving. The prejudice is the saints. Not that we don't give as God directs, you know, in a need here or there to the lost and saved alike, but God wants to be sure. He says especially to them that are the house of God, especially to the saints, and we want to be givers. And so there's kind of a holy prejudice there that God wants us to have. You see, the world is getting a lot of saints distracted. And they're given to all these TV preachers who they never meet. They're given to all these causes. They're saving the whales, you know, and they're given to, you know, to UNICEF and feeding hungry babies over in Africa so they can die and go to hell or live a few days longer suffering lost and then eventually die and go. And they're given all wrong. They're given in all in the wrong places. And when it comes to giving to the lost, we want to be careful that we're always looking for them to be saved. Amen. I mean, there's nothing wrong with seeing your neighbor and considering your neighbor and say, you know, I want to get on their good side. I want to get on their good side so one day maybe I can tell them about Jesus. That's a good motive. We ought not. Well, I just give. You know, I shared with you a couple weeks ago about the church down the road here. They give a dinner out, but they just give the dinner out. No tracts, no gospel message. They just give the dinner out. You know, the homeless come and get it, and sadly thinking that is unconditional love. No, unconditional love is Christ dying for us, rising again. Amen. And that's a message that people need to hear. I remember our missions teacher was in Bible college always talking about those kind of that kind of giving, just fattening the heathen for hell, you know, fattening them up, you know, for the fires. No, I want to be involved in those things that involve the gospel. Amen. And nothing wrong. I mean, I've helped these lost people out, not get them a track, and there's nothing wrong with that. I want to know that we want to do good things. But we ought to look for those opportunities, amen. Be praying for those. And we certainly want to be focused, be a people that is especially giving what? To the saints and to the work of God. It's amazing how much you see this through the Bible, this giving with that focus. We think about Jesus, you know, and his giving, especially as far as food and needs and those type of things. In what situations did Jesus give? You know, take food, for instance. Well, we have two instances of what? The feeding of the 5,000 and then what? The feeding of the 4,000. And in both those instances, they'd been following him around. Matter of fact, in the first instance, the feeding of the 5,000, I think, if I remember correctly, I think it was maybe 3 days. And they were so, and they're following around what? Listening to him what? Teach the kingdom of God. And so finally, when they're so faint that he's concerned they're gonna faint on the way if they without eating, now he feeds them. He didn't just go find some hungry and homeless out there and say, here's a loaf of bread, now you have a good day. That's not what he did. And followed them around. Those were willing to actually put their bodies into difficult positions to the point where they could faint from hunger to listen to him preach. Amen. Those are the ones that he fed. He fed the 5,000 and then the 4,000. And I think of perhaps the one exception, and of course, he's preaching the message there. I think of the exception there with the wedding in Cana of Galilee, when Jesus and his disciples were invited to that wedding. What did he do there? He turned the water into wine. And now we don't know if that those folks there were saved or lost, the married couple. We don't know. It may be Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, so it may be that these are some that had also believed along the way. He may have been ministering to believers there. That would be a great social embarrassment for that young groom and bride to go through to run out and not have enough to, you know, for those people that are at the wedding there. And so what does Jesus do? He steps in and he helps them out with that and ministers there. Time and again we see that we are to be focusing upon the brethren. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his what? Brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? He's talking about the brethren there, James is. Make no mistake about it, the Bible does not teach the brotherhood of mankind. That may not be popular, but the Bible doesn't teach the brotherhood of mankind. I know Paul, when it's in his message to the Athenians there, said we're all the offspring of God. I understand that. He specifically saying God created us all. We know that. But he never said we were all brethren. We're not all brethren. There are those who are saved, and we are brethren. There are those who are not. In a sense, I guess they are brethren. But once we are made brethren through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when Jesus was inside ministering and the crowds were around him in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 47 and following, and one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his what? His disciples, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus said, this is my family here, the ones who are my disciples. And by the way, anybody can become part of this family, amen? That's the wonderful thing about it. How does that happen? Galatians 3:26. For ye are all the children of God, what? Through faith in Christ Jesus. So that's what we want to do with the lost. We want to invite them to be brethren, amen? And we want them to come into the fold. And why? So they can be a part of that group that we minister to mainly, you know, with our time and the riches and stuff that God gives us. We want to get them into the fold. Then we can help them even more, amen? And that's what we ought to be gearing for. In James chapter 2 and verse 15, James writes, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, one of you depart in peace, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And so we see that. Now we have to understand also, this kind of ministering to the brethren would have been very prevalent during the early church. Because remember, with the stoning of Stephen, what happened? They were persecuted and scattered abroad. Many of them became homeless. They would have their goods confiscated. So you might have a brother or sister come, you know, knocking on your door. And they need food. They need clothing. They need a place to stay. And so the encouragement to take them in. Brothers and sisters, that happens here today as well. We had some missionaries a while back that had their house burnt down. We took up an offering for them, sent that to them, lost everything. And they weren't ones that we took on support, but we had them here. And actually, they couldn't. We had them scheduled to come here, and then their house burnt down in the process. So we sent them a love offering. And that's the brethren. They were in need. And we can be need to be distributing to the necessity of the saints. Paul also ministered to the saints. In Acts chapter 20, he's talking about his ministry, and he says in verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to who else? And to them that were with me. That's his missionary. That's those who are traveling with him. And he ministered to their needs. And so he tells us that. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. To remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It would have been prevalent. It would have been very many needy at that time. Remember what what some of the disciples did? Remember they sold their lands, Barnabas did, and such. And why? Because there were people staying there to hear the preaching and to get saved and all that. And so they needed food to stay there. They stayed longer for the feast of Pentecost there, and stayed longer than those days. And so all their needs were met by the giving of the brethren. And by the way, that situation is likely going to be repeated during the tribulation period. When the Antichrist does what? He begins hunting those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He will go first and foremost after those that are in Judea. The Bible talks about that. They will flee into the wilderness. God is going to protect the remnant there and purge out the rebels of a remnant there in the wilderness during the tribulation period. And then the Antichrist goes what? He goes after the rest, those that are out in the world. And so now you're going to have a similar situation there. And then Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation and judges what we call the judgment of the nations. He will come with him, by the way. The rapture will have already taken place. He returns bodily at the end of the tribulation, and we have the judgment of the nations. You'll find that in Matthew 25:40. And listen to how Jesus determines the judgment here. He says, and the king, he's the king because he's King Jesus, and he's about to step into his millennial reign as soon as he gets done judging all the nations that are on the world there. Left on the world, he says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. When saw you, they say, you know, sick and in prison, visited thee, hunger and gave you meat, you know, thirsty and gave you drink. Jesus said, inasmuch as ye have done it what? Unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so he was looking for people to be helping those Christians that are suffering during the tribulation period. Were you helping them? That, by the way, that would be a proof of your salvation, wouldn't it? And so he says, goes on to say, verse 42, I was hungry, you gave me no meat. These are those who are lost in the tribulation. They'll not go into the millennium. I was hungry, you gave me no meat. Matthew 25:42, I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. A stranger ye took me not in. Naked ye clothed me not. And on he goes. Sick in a prison ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in a hunger or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, did not minister unto thee? He shall answer them, saying, verily I say it unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of what? The least of these. And of course, referencing my brethren, the last time he said that, ye did it not to me. These should go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And so again, the Lord is looking for the care of the brethren. The care of the brethren. And the Bible gives some specific directions on who we ought to care for among the brethren. Aged father and mother are to be cared for by one's saved family. In Mark chapter 7, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees for denying this. Jesus says in Mark 7:10, for Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. They came up with this little rule of theirs. Now, you're supposed to take care of your aging mom and dad, but if you want to take all those finances and stuff that you could care for them and give to us wonderful holy people and the wonderful work of the temple that we do, if you want to give us a gift, you know what? God will wink at that, and you won't need to care for your aging mom and dad. That's what they were teaching them. And what did Jesus say? He said, you say it's a gift. Well, I gave the gift to God. Of course, they're giving it to the Pharisees. That wasn't really, you know, giving it to God, obviously. And you suffer no more to do aught for his father or his mother. That sounds a little Catholic, doesn't it? Well, you're released now. Since you gave us the gift, you're released from obligation to your mother and dad. That isn't what Jesus said. Was he said, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things you do. You don't disannul God's word. And Jesus rebuked them for that. And so we see that we are to care for an aging father and mother. Now, I think that there are some stipulations regarding that, obviously. My younger brother I thank him for it, often has cared for my mother, and she lives in Philadelphia. And he's not married. He's been stayed single all his life, and he's cared for her for decades. and taking care of her, and likely will till, you know, till she passes away. But our mother knows that if she ever wanted to move, she has a place out here she can stay too, and she has a place where the other, where other family lives that will take care of her as well. See, God's not expecting you, you know, to buy your mother a house over in Hawaii where she wants to live, or a different place where she wants to. It's the idea of taking care of them with you at your place, is what the idea is, taking them in. And we've let our I've let my mom know that, and she knows that. So it's not you know, something that would be overly burdensome, as, you know, get another house somewhere, another state or something like that. No, taking even into the family to take care of him. Aged father and mother. A widow in the family. Of course, that, you know, my mother would classify there too. In 1 Timothy 5:4, Paul is telling Timothy how things ought to be done in the church. He says, but if any widow have children or nephews, and that's just relatives, let them learn first to show piety at home, holiness at home, and to requite their parents, to pay them back for taking care of them, what's talking about there, for that is good and acceptable before God. What God is saying is, listen, they took care of you all those years. Now when they become needy, you take care of them. That's what God says. And so we ought to have a part, you know, in doing that, being there for them. Widows without family. In Acts chapter 6, the Bible talks about the first deacons there. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So now you have widows in the church. And Paul already told Timothy, now widows in the church, remember what were the stipulations? I think they had to be at least 60 years old. They had to have brought up children and take care of strangers and all that. But wash the saints' feet, serve the faithful saints, and then those who had lived that kind of life and had no family, then the church was supposed to take care of them and minister to their needs. And so all this related what? To giving, to the necessity of saints. A destitute brother, we saw that in James already. If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, taking care of those and ministering in that way. Now there are some abuses of benevolence too that can happen. We all know about that, and the Bible talks about that in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, what? Neither should he eat. Listen, the plain truth is God's plan for somebody who will not work is for them, if they continue in that way, to starve to death. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. They get hungry enough, they'll eat, okay? They get hungry enough, they'll eat. And the reason we're trying to feed so many who won't work is because we won't let them get hungry enough to go find work, and we're suffering in our own soup there, all the problems that come from that, abuses of benevolence. Matthew 7:6, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. I mean, I'm going to give a gift to somebody that's lost or something to help them out, you know, and hope to have a witness, you know, to them. They turn around and curse Christ. You know what? It's probably not going to happen again. You just have to seek God's direction on that. Some people aren't going to listen. And we have to seek God's mind on that, and not be continually feeding some. Some people are just going to take. They'll take all you give. All you can give, they'll take. You know, and they got no plans of turning, no plans of repentance. And we have to be wise on that, and seek the heart of God on that. Plus, today regarding the church, we have some things going on today, as far as taking care of widows and elderly people and such, that weren't going on back in the first century. I'm sure they didn't have what? Social Security. Isn't that a blessing we have that now? We'd be better off if we could take our own money and put it somewhere where it could do something. Now we have Social Security, where Uncle Sam has said, I will take the liberty to help the poor and those who are needy, and I will take money out of your check before you ever get it. So before you ever get it, money is taken out of your check to feed the poor and do many other things besides that. I guess it wouldn't be so bad. It would be bad in that still some of the poor would be fed who shouldn't be fed, but at least it wouldn't be bad if it was just feeding the poor and all the other stuff they do with it. But there are programs, that help people. If someone is destitute in the United States, what happens? They got programs that what? Pay their rent and feed them. I mean, with food and raiment, what? Be therewith content. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so I think that we, and I'm not against, by the way, using those things if a believer finds themselves in that way. By the way, who paid for it? We did, didn't we? And every working person paid for it, right? So I'm not against that, finding that and using that. And we know some that are in need of that. And I'm thankful that is provided. But in our land, even the poor are prosperous. Like I say, they're given what? A place to live, food to eat. Look at the convicted murderer in our country. The convicted murderer in our country lives better than the average person does in the world. The only difference is they can't go outside whenever they want and go to the store. But as far as their needs being met, they live better than the average person in the world. I mean, we have people that are working, unbelievable hours for a couple dollars a month, just trying to get enough rice to eat. And we got convicted murderers in our prisons getting 3 hots and a cot and a gym and all that stuff. It's no wonder that problems arise from that. But we need to be giving, and especially to the brethren. Let me just give you just a little bit of advice on giving. Loans, probably best not. The borrower's servant to the lender, probably best not to loan. If you can avoid that. Most of us can't plop down, $40,000 for showing my thinking. Most of us can't plop down $140,000 or $240,000 for a home, or $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 for a new car. Most of us can't plop that down. So I understand, making payments on something like that. But we ought to limit that. We ought to not, keep the loans to the minimum as possible. By the way, if someone asks to borrow money, if it's someone you're working with trying to win, that's okay. But listen, ask yourself, can I do without it? Can I do without it? And by the way, Jesus said, what? Lend to them and expecting what? Nothing in return. That's the way we're supposed to be. Okay, so don't lend something that you can't do without. Don't lend something that if they don't give it back to you, it'll change your countenance toward them. If you're tempted in that, you're best not, give it. Give it is really the best thing to do if you can at all do that, meet that need. Sometimes that's not possible. I understand that. And you have to seek God's grace and God's wisdom in that. All right. Giving to the necessity of saints. Giving to hospitality. And this has the idea of a lover of strangers. There were many, again, in the context of the time. They were running. There were also preachers that traveled and such. And many Christians would find themselves, visiting. You might not know them well, and they need a place to stay. They need some support along the way, and this certainly would qualify for the strangers which they're talking about. I wouldn't advise picking up a hitchhiker along the road today, and I used to do that. you know, and I used to pick them up, okay? That wouldn't be a wise thing to do today, okay? Not the kind of strangers God's talking about, all right? Ministering to those that are traveling and such. In 3 John chapter 1 and verse 5, John is commending the brother there for taking care of him. He says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and the strangers, and taking them in, and who have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." So who were these, the brethren and strangers? Those who were helping the truth and traveling through. And so they would take them in. It's like what we do. Evangelist comes. We find a place for him to stay. He stayed at some people's houses here, ours, the Bullocks, and some others here, and stayed at their house. And you know what? They're traveling through. They're going on to their, you know, to their next meeting after us. We meet their needs while they're here, and we want to make sure they have sufficient to get to their next meeting. And provide that. Being faithful to provide in that way. By the way, Hebrews 13:2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained" what? Angels unawares. You ever thought about that? Angels is kind of a tricky word there, because angels is sometimes used to speak about human beings, and we learned that in our study through Revelation. Messengers of God are sometimes called angels. The redeemed, one of the redeemed who's speaking to John in the vision is referred to as an angel toward the end of Revelation there. But that verse in Hebrews seems to be talking about the angelic kind. And you say, well, what does an angel look like? A stranger. Wouldn't that be something if we all got called to heaven and part of the judgment seat of Christ was Lord says, now I want to call a group of strangers over here. These people have come by and visited you at your house, and they're going to give a testimony now. They met you on the street, and they're going to give a testimony now that we're going to use here in this discernment of rewards and such. I wonder if that would happen. I don't know, but thereby some have entertained angels. Unawares, they're spies among us, and God sees everything all the time anyway. Okay, so you know, if you remember that, we'll be okay, right? And so there would be many that would be, traveling around there at that time. Verse 14: "Bless them." That clock is not right. Did that stop? I'm going to stop. It's 8:16, so, boy, God just showed major mercy on y'all, I'm telling you. I'm thinking, wow, this is a lot shorter lesson than I thought. Amen. That was God's grace and goodness. Amen. All right, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings and goodness. God, I thank you for those that have been so good to us. And Father, I think of growing as a Christian. I think of all the Christians who were so good to me and gave of their time and helped us with their material things, and were such a blessing to us, dear God, in so many ways. And even this church has been to Lisa and I and to our family. And Father, what a blessing, and I'm so thankful for that. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to be a blessing whenever we can. Dear God, you see even the widow's mite. And how blessed that is. We have the saying, we put in our own 2 cents, and that widow put in her all her living, and it wasn't much to others who looked on, but you knew the fortune. You knew the fortune that it was that she had given, and you spoke of it. And so, Father, help us to give as you direct, and you'll always be pleased. Help us to have wisdom, to give wisely. There are some times we shouldn't give, Heavenly Father, and we need that wisdom there as well. Wouldn't be good for that person if we helped them out and gave them what they're asking. And God, that happens many times these days. And we need that wisdom and grace. to give and to be a giving people as you direct. And just pray you'd help us in that. We thank you, Father. Bless us. Go with us the remainder of the week. Thank you that for bringing us here in the middle of the week. We have this time together again. You've been so wonderful to us, God. And I pray that you'd show us more wonders this week and help us to pray earnestly and fervently for one another, for souls to be saved in the remainder of the week and for the upcoming services, dear God. To set aside time to pray earnestly for the services, for your moving, dear God. There's no magic in a message that is prayerless, Father. There's nothing there. We need prayer. We need your people to pray. And we need to lift this ministry up before you in every way. So, Father, help us to be careful to do that. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.